I have recently done so many human design chart readings. Everyone is hearing how accurate their chart is and how it can literally make the biggest changes and shifts in the best possible areas of their lives. But diving into the world of human design can be confusing. I truly believe once you have the base of human design, though, it can make learning more about your unique chart so much more easeful, enjoyable, and clear. I get so many requests on learning more about the energy types and authority within human design that I decided to open up my Intro to Human Design workshop as a replay. In this workshop, you will learn what human design is. You will learn more about your specific energy type. So if you know you're a projector, a manifestor, generator, manifesting generator, or reflector, we will dive more into each of those types and learn how knowing your energy can benefit you in life and work. We will talk about the strategy associated with your specific energy type. You will learn about your authority and how to make the most aligned decisions. You will also get an intro copy of your human design chart, but you must know your exact birth time down to the minute and birth location for an accurate chart reading. You can use the link in the show notes to access the replay, and if you want to dive in deeper into your chart one-on-one, make sure you also use the link in the show notes to book your very own reading, where I go more in depth on your specific chart and give you a personalized reading. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of the show. I hope everyone had an incredible long weekend. If you're in Canada, it was the long weekend. Hope you had lots to celebrate. Hope you had lots of fun. Let me know what you got up to this weekend. I would love to know. Hop into the DMs. Let me know what you were up to. And let me know what you think of today's podcast episode. Today on the podcast, I am joined by Dr. Nabil Fanous. Dr. Nabil is a triple board certified surgeon, university teacher, and renowned speaker at major international medical conferences. After completing an advanced training in Boston with Harvard teacher and world-renowned plastic surgeon Dr. Richard Webster, Dr. Fanous was offered a teaching position at McGill University in Montreal, Canada, where he is presently chief of the Division of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery and associate professor at the Department of Head and Neck Surgery. He is a founding member of the Canadian Academy of Facial Plastic Surgery and is a fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons of Canada. Dr. Fanous is the recipient of numerous awards, including the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal. He has authored more than 60 scientific publications, introduced numerous new surgical techniques, and designed multiple surgical instruments. He is married with two children and lives in Montreal, Canada, where he practices as director and senior surgeon at the Canadian Institute of Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Nabil Fanous so generously donated his time in between seeing clients to hop on the podcast, where we talk about all things on how to stay healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, the universal rules of life, and how to manage your time and stress. We also discuss how in-person connection is vital to our health and well-being, the power of gratitude, and so much more. This was a fun episode for me. We really kind of dive into the universal laws. And as a yogi, I just felt like I related to everything he was saying on so many levels. And even if you don't identify as being a yogi, these laws are and rules are applicable to everyone. And I feel like everyone will gain a little bit of nugget of information from this podcast episode and be able to apply it into their life. As always, please keep in mind this episode is not meant to act as medical advice. You are always encouraged to be your own advocate and to do your own research. I've been on a mission to really clean out my closet, especially when it comes to skincare and beauty, which is why I am so happy to have discovered Three Ships Beauty. Their mission is to be the most transparent beauty brand in the world. Their products are super clean, natural with 100% plant-derived ingredients, and contain no harmful ingredients. Their website has a section where you can look at an ingredient glossier and what they are doing to be more sustainable. This was really important to me as I'm making a real effort to be more sustainable in my everyday life, but also getting the best clean products that work. If you've been following along with me on social media, you'll know that I downloaded the Think Dirty app, which shows all of your household items, your skincare products, your beauty products, and what sort of harmful ingredients are in them. And let me just tell you, it is absolutely mind-blowing. It links studies that show why they got a rating that like they did. You know, if something is carcinogenic, it will link the study that shows that it was carcinogenic. It was real eye-opening to look at what I had in my cupboards and in my drawers for skincare and beauty, and to realize that some of which I thought was actually clean turns out that it isn't. Three Ships has a product that I am absolutely obsessed with, which is the Dew Drops. It's one of their best-selling serums, and it contains mushroom hyaluronic acid and vitamin C serum. It leaves my skin feeling so plump, dewy, and bright. You can save money and support the show by using code BALANCEBYMEGAN20, all one word, M-E-G-H-A-N, at checkout. Take their skincare quiz online to find the best products for your skin type. Save 20% off of your order by using code BALANCEBYMEGAN20 at checkout, or you can use the link in the show notes. I highly suggest checking out their Dew Drops, which is my current obsession and one of their best-selling serums. But take a look at the other products, see what resonates with you, and see what your skin is craving. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nabil. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you, Megan.
I would love to know, just for our audience, if you can give a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining us from today.
Well, I basically do cosmetic surgery in Montreal. I teach facial plastic surgery at McGill University. And a few years ago, I have a big practice doing mostly, say, noses and facelifts and breast augmentation, stuff like that. And then about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, some of the residents who are students in advanced stages asked me to help them manage their time. And I said, you know, I have some rules for my kids who are now not exactly kids, but not maybe in their 30s. And I said, okay. And I give them a talk, and then they like it so much. They said, well, can you tell us more about how to study? So I started giving another talk. And then they said, well, give us all the things that you give to your kids, because I keep saying I give this to my kids. So I said, well, I have like 10 rules for my kids. I'll give you the 10 rules. And the next thing I know, the university professors are calling me to say, we want to know your rules. So I give it to the colleagues, and then I started giving it to conferences, and it became so popular that I said, someone told me actually 4 years ago, I said, if you don't write it, one of us will write it for you. So this is basically how it came. I started writing the book, and I finished the English one first. The book is being distributed by Simon & Schuster in the US, which was a big lucky hit for me. And they agreed to have it in French. And I wrote the French myself. So I wrote English and French. And that's how it came, basically.
I love it. And I imagine as a doctor, even though you're in the cosmetic field, you must see a lot of clients who come in who are extremely stressed, don't know how to manage time management. And I love that there's a lot of doctors out there who don't. They're very much more focused on living a healthy lifestyle and using almost like cosmetic surgery as an enhancement rather than just using it to fix people's lives. What sort of lifestyle and healthy living tips or these rules do you have for people to live a healthier lifestyle?
Healthier lifestyle. Do you mean? Okay. Rule number 10 says that your number one goal in life is happiness. How to implement, that's the subtitle, how to implement the four indispensable rules of living happily. Rule number one is working and staying busy. I'm giving it to you. Rule number two is having exciting expectations in the future. Rule number three is staying healthy, physically and psychologically. And rule number four is having a family and friends network. If you have the four, you can be happy. It's like a table with four legs. You lose one, the table goes off balance. That can't stand. So when we come to the healthy part, how to be healthy, again, it's divided into how to be healthy physically, how to be healthy psychologically. I don't think I'll have the time to go for that, but I may give you very quickly, because it's all in the book, I may give you very quickly the major thing, in a nutshell, I call it, like to stay healthy physically, you need two things. You need prevention of disease and early detection of disease. Two things. Not treatment of disease. Notice that. Treatment is too late. Prevention. How do you prevent? Three things. Good nutrition, low stress, and regular exercise. Three. Now, early detection of disease, including cancer, heart attack, and so on. You need two things. You need regular yearly checkups and testing, and occasional screening, laparoscopies, and radiological exams, screening for something in the body that you cannot see so that you can detect it early. So that's, now we are covering the physical very fast. Psychological, there are other rules for the stress that I'm coming from, but in just the healthy stress, basically, psychologically, you need to avoid the stress inducers. What are the stress inducers? Some of them are physical and some of them psychological. Stress inducer psychological is, say, to always be late, so it stresses you out, or to wait in line, long line, that stresses you out, or you go when the traffic is heavy, that stresses you out. Or the physical inducer, taking coffee. Coffee is good in very small amount, very disturbing and stressful if you take it a lot. For example, smoking can increase your stress. Lack of sleep can increase your stress. Snoring can increase your stress. So I won't be able, you have to buy my book, but I won't be able to go through that. I'm giving you the little hints. Now, what else can we do to help stress? I think out of the 27 rules, I'll give you, again, some hints. Rule number six, which is time management, because time is a reason for being stressed. When you don't have time, you're overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. So my rule number six says, eliminate it, delegate it, or shrink it. That's rule number six. Eliminate what doesn't need to be done. Delegate what you don't have personally to do. And if you can't eliminate it and you can't delegate it, shrink it. What do you mean by that? Again, that's a whole chapter. But I'll give you an example of shrinking. You are invited in a party. Arrive late or leave early. That's shrinking. You are writing a letter to your friend, and oh my gosh, I don't have time. Just put three words, how are you? Press, send. That's shrinking. So this is rule 6 for time management. There is rule 8. Put your problems on paper. That's a rule. Subtitle, how can you solve any problem in less than 5 minutes? And this is how it goes. If you have to put your problem on paper, otherwise you will be going all day. It's going to go all night, all day, running there, repeating the same show. No, when you have a problem, you sit before you go to bed for 5 minutes. What is the problem? You write it down. What are all the possible solutions for this problem? Or even the crazy one, whatever comes to your mind, you would tap, 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 tap. Number 3, remove the absolutely not practical solution and leave the possibly reasonable one. Circle them instead of crossing them off. The last one is go over the circled option and shoot the best. This procedure takes you 5 minutes. So this is rule number 8, and it's great for stress. Rule number 9 is another approach to stress. Rule number 1 says, what is the worst case scenario? And what is the most probable one? Just to say it quickly, again, I'm talking about 350 pages, so try to give you the real meat there. When faced with a small problem, like you have a scratch on your car, you lost your favorite pen, ask yourself one question. Would I remember it 6 months from now? If the answer is yes, forget it immediately. Now, when faced with a big problem, a health crisis, a financial crisis, a marital crisis, big. Ask yourself 2 questions. First, what would be the worst case scenario? Amazingly, often it's not that bad. Bad, but it's not that bad. In addition of not being very probable. In other words, of being improbable, because that's the worst case scenario. And the second question to ask is, what's the most probable scenario? And that is usually what happens. And you'll find it not bad at all, in addition to the fact that this is the one most likely to happen. So I gave you already 4 rules for stress.
No, I love it. It reminds me, like in elementary school, we used to write like a pros and cons list of things that we like needed to do, or like a something we were contemplating. And it's the same concept as like, what is, I know, kind of like this law of attraction, as in what could go possibly right. And then, you know, it, you need to reasonably look at it and be like, what are kind of the downfalls of this? But I think it's more like focusing on the more positive things that could go happen into your life. Cause I do feel like we do attract that into our world. I wanted to, cause I know we're short on time and there's so much that I wanted to discuss, but you had mentioned this idea of purpose in someone's life. Can you talk a little bit more about how that relates to either being stressed in our life or not stressed? Or this idea of working and being busy.
When I mentioned about happiness.
Yes, working, being busy.
Rule number 1 in happiness, working and staying busy. Okay, happiness is doing things, not owning things. Owning things. Happiness is doing things, not owning things. All what you owe, your car, that's not going to make you happy. It makes you happy just... That's another part. It makes you happy temporarily. And that's number 2. But on the long term, on every day, you need something to wake up for in the morning. And that has to be working and staying busy, nothing else. So number 2, having exciting expectation. For example, buying a new car. Okay, that's something that would give you happiness. Or going on a trip. So happiness is the road to the exciting expectation that ends as you reach that expectation. Meaning, you are all excited about going to a trip. You go to the trip and it ends. You're all excited about buying the car. You buy the car. Okay, you're happy one day, 1 week, 2 weeks, 2 months, and it's gone. So, but you need that. You need that because thrilling expectation gives you something to look for in the future. So your life should be a succession of little exciting goals, even a simple one as going out for supper and then to a movie. That's an exciting goal for the day. Next day, you should need something else. So that, of course, helps stress. Stress is so complex that I would say that out of my 27 rules, at least 20 contribute to cutting stress. It is so complex. I covered it all, but I'm trying to show you all kinds of things that even a cup of coffee can give you stress. Having nothing to do than you think about. Having a problem and you don't write it down, you keep thinking about it, and so on. Having little stupid things like missing the flight. So you missed the flight. Would you remember it in 6 months? No, forget it. Forget it. Okay, I have other rules, but I want you to ask me other questions.
I wanted to ask about, we've been in COVID for the last few years, and you had mentioned like connection, relationships. How does that contribute to stress in our life or not having stress? You know, everybody went on lockdown. We talk about social media and how great it is to meet people through social media. But what is it about interpersonal connections that help us lead a healthier life?
Well, loneliness is a silent killer. You want to kill someone, leave him alone. People who live alone are in severe danger of depression. Why? Because we liked to be loved and to belong. That's in our nature. People, you put people in the jungle and they would make a tribe. Why don't they live separately? No, automatically they make a tribe. The natural thing is to communicate. So communication with people is one of the four pillars of happiness as far as I'm concerned. And that communication has to be constant, even at a very small level. It has to be constant, meaning you don't have to spend an hour on the phone with a friend. That's great if you can do it. But what's totally unacceptable is that you forgot that friend and then call him every 4 or 5 months for half an hour or an hour. Mm-mm. You need a little text, a little like app, like WhatsApp or Viber, whatever, something to communicate with. And it doesn't have to be much. You don't have to communicate every day. I'm in one or two groups and I intervene maybe once a month and I read quickly the important thing. It takes me 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But this is very powerful for communication. Ideally, we should be in the same room together, face to face. If you can't do that, the next best thing is FaceTime, say, or Zoom. The third is just a phone call, quick. The least and the most practical is a text. How are you, duck?
Is there another rule that maybe seems less obvious to people, but makes a huge difference in their life when it comes to living happier and healthier? Maybe one that someone wouldn't have thought that contributes to it?
That's an unusual question. You're a smart cookie. Yes. Rule number 20. Rule number 20 say, think of what you have, not what you don't have. And think of what other people don't have, not what they do have. We always think of what other people have, not what they don't have. And we always think of what we don't have, not what we do have. So the thing is, you will never, don't think of what you are missing, because you will never know what the others are missing. Steve Jobs, the man who made Apple, Apple, he was the envy of the whole world. No one knew he had pancreatic cancer. Everybody was envying him, not realizing that maybe that you're better off. You never know what the other people are missing. Don't compare and despair. Don't compare and despair. Just be grateful and celebrate what you have. And I have another part of a rule that says, think of what could have happened, but didn't. You had a tumor. You went to the hospital and said, oh my gosh, it's got, but it turned to be benign. You forget it? No, don't forget it. Think of what could have happened, but didn't. You were in a car accident, but thank God the car was hit, but you weren't hurt. What could have happened, but didn't. You got a baby after a cesarean and it was very dangerous, but you got away with it, but didn't. We always forget that.
Yeah. I love the concept of like a gratitude attitude. I started writing in a gratitude journal at night, and I got very specific about the things I wrote about. And it really does remind you of how good things are for you, even if it's something as small as, you know, I went on a walk today, but it was so nice out. It was sunny. I could hear the birds chirping, and it just reminds you of how good things are in your life.
Yeah, and in one of about how we are, think of what you're blessed with. Think of your blessing, not of your sorrows. And one of your blessings that people don't realize is that right now you talk, you see, you hear, you're breathing, and you can move your hands and arms, and believe it or not, it's not everyone that has that. We tend to forget this simple thing and only look at people who are better than us that often are not.
Go ahead. No, I love it so much. As a practicing doctor, and you have this book, you live by these rules, I'm curious what you do in your daily life that helps to manage your stress. Are you moving your body every day?
I follow 27 rules.
You follow all these rules.
You know what, Megan? I was talking to my son, and I say, who helped me in the book. He actually did the audio book, and he's very good with languages. So both English and French. So he was a big help. I even dedicated part of the book to it. And I said, you know, I'm realizing I'm the one who benefited the most from these rules, because now that I wrote them, I'm applying them all the time. I'll give you an example. I was in Chicago on the weekend, and we went to the Four Seasons Peninsula Hotel. They had a nice Chinese restaurant. That was on Saturday. And we booked for a terrace table. So I came in, and they said, oh, we don't have table in the terrace. And my wife said, okay, because it was very busy. I said, okay, we have a table inside. The weather was beautiful. I said, no, I'm applying my rule number two. What is my rule number two, Megan? Next time I'm going to ask you how to answer. So rule number two says, ask once for what you want, and you will get it 50% of the time. So I said to the lady, her name was Zena. I said, Zena, I would really like to have a table outside. Can you get us a table outside, please? And she looks like me and she said, let me see what I can do, but it's all busy. I said, can you try? Because we will not be able to take that table. And my son and my wife said, mate, you're going to lose the table. Wait. And then she waits for 5 minutes, comes back and said, okay, we got you a table. And what? The best table in the terrace. And then they said, you are lucky. I said, no, I'm not lucky. What do you mean? They said, you're lucky because you used your number two, but what if she said, no, we don't have anything. You would have lost that table. I said, no. I would have said, okay, I'll take the table. And then I said, look, and I'm telling you this, when you ask for what you want, the worst people can do to you is not to give you what you asked for, which is precisely where you were before you asked. We were at that table inside. I would have said, okay, I'm accepting the table inside. So I didn't take a chance.
My dad used to say all the time to us, if you don't ask, you'll never know. So it's, you know, I mean, we've gotten so many things just by asking for it.
And ask once.
Yeah, exactly. You know, even as simple as like an upgrade in an airplane, how often do they do it? Not often, but I've been like, do you have any free like places in first class?
You just ask.
And it has happened before. And a few times it has. And it's like, well, again, they're not going to kick us off the plane for asking. We're just.
And you ask nicely.
Yeah.
And amazingly, I was thinking, because when someone was asking me, do you think 50%? I said, honestly, I think it's 70. Mm-hmm. Of every 10 times I ask. And now everybody I know is doing that. And all my students, not all, but many of the people who take my course in McGill University, they do that. They're learning that. So it's sometimes amazing. Like, actually, we were in the Four Seasons Hotel. We are leaving. And my son wanted to stay later. So I called the lady to say, you know, he wanted to go to leave at 3. And I say, we'll say leave at 4. And even if they give us, instead of 11, they give us at 1. That's better than nothing. Sometimes you don't get what you want. You get half of it. So I said, hi, how are you? Is it possible, please? I would like to stay till 4 for a checkout. And I'm waiting. If she said no, I said, okay, at least I'm waiting to Jared. But she said, okay, no problem. Solved.
Perfect, yeah.
Impressive. I mean, usually they say no. But for that day, someone was in good mood. Mm-hmm. I could have always argued, okay, at least make it for 2. No, we can't. Okay, what about 1? Mm-hmm. Usually you get something.
Yeah, I love it. Besides your own book, is there a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you incredible value, whether it's as a doctor or when it comes to any sort of universal laws or anything like that, that you want to share with the audience?
I think when I was younger, I read a book that really impressed me. It was by Dale Carnegie, How to Make Friends and Influence People. I still think it's a masterpiece. It's different than mine. With all respect, Dale Carnegie at this time, it was like an impressive book. He had another book on how to beat stress, how to live happily, how to enjoy living and enjoy living, something like that, with about stress. Some of his ideas, like smile, this is, to me, is a very little rule. I want more in-depth rule, like, you know, for example, rule number 3 is start every criticism with a compliment and every argument with an agreement. Subtitle, How to Criticize and Argue Yet Remain Liked and Respected. So this is the kind of rule I like. It's not just smile or say the name of the person. That's to me could be a little artificial. It has to be a heavier rule that changed the whole approach. But I still would say that the books of Dale Carnegie are the best I have read.
I love that so much. If anyone wants to get a hold of your book, or maybe they just want to check you out online or even come to your practice, where can everybody go and find you and get a copy of the book?
Well, it's very simple. You go to Amazon. If you are in Canada, it's amazon.ca. If you are in the US, it's amazon.com. And you either put the Universal Rules of Life or you put my name, Nabil Fanous, and it would pop up right away. And you get it next day.
I love that. Dr. Nabil, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your rules for living a healthier, happier lifestyle and beating stress. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes, so if someone wants to get your book, they can grab it right from there.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you for
My
taking the
pleasure.
time when you had a patient right after this.
Thank you.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.